One of the things that I love about our Episcopal Church is our unifying use of the Book of Common Prayer. No matter what Episcopal Church you go into anywhere in the world, and no matter what language is being spoken there, you're going to know where you are in the service. In the Episcopal Church, we are woven together in our common prayer. We're grounded together in our baptismal covenant and in the discipline of the Holy Eucharist. The Episcopal Church has been described as a big tent under which people from all over can gather. People with different starts in life, people with the big questions that they need to ask are welcome there. People with no church background at all, and people who were baptized as infants. All are welcome under God's tent of love. That doesn't mean that we don't disagree. It doesn't mean that we walk in lockstep. We have our own contexts and our own individual communities. But as members of the Anglican Communion, we pray every Sunday for different members of our larger Anglican world, and we pray here for different faith communities in the Episcopal Church in Minnesota. Today, I would like you to add another faith community into your prayers. Grace Episcopal Church in Gainesville, Georgia, has asked for prayers. Today, as they gather for worship this morning, I think they're just finishing, they're in Eastern time, I think they're just finishing their last service of the day. As they gather, they are targets right now of protesters, of picketers from Westboro Baptist Church. I feel even more connected with Grace Church because their director of music, their Brian Williams, is Will Gottmer, son of our own Al and Candy Gottmer there. And Will grew up here at Calvary. He was a student of Brian's, and Brian still is one of his mentors. Westboro Baptist Church in Kansas is a church that has been around for decades, and in my opinion, has twisted and misrepresented the gospel of Christ in their belief system and in their outward actions. You may know them as the group that protests military funerals and religious institutions of all kinds. They do so with the goal of causing disruption, hatred, and violence. Using banners and posters and chants, they spew hatred against all kinds of people, but mainly against those who are gay, lesbian, transgendered, and their families and their allies. They justify their hatred in their reading of the scripture, and they believe that God hates those families and churches who welcome all people. They're busy in Georgia now on their way to the Super Bowl, where they'll be setting up shop later on this afternoon. The Southern Poverty Law Center has named Westboro Baptist Church as one of the worst hate groups in the United States. Years ago, I was part of All Saints in Atlanta, a church that is quite often on the receiving end of protests, and while I was there, we were protested twice by Westboro. And although I thought I was well prepared, we all were prepared for this group, I could still remember the feeling of being punched in my gut, sick to my stomach from witnessing such hatred, even as we tried to ignore them. The people of Grace Church have firmly pledged their response to this horrible way of outward expression of hate by choosing to act with compassion. They've been praying for weeks to get ready for this morning. Last week, they had a forum about civil discourse. They're being careful. They're working closely with their police department and the other five churches in Gainesville who are on the Westboro picket list today. They committed again to the power of the baptismal covenant and to the healing mysteries of the Holy Eucharist. And today, they organize something they're calling a community compassion drive, collecting food for people and for pets who were hungry. And the rector this morning has been ringing their pealing bells the entire time the picketers have been across the street from them, knowing that the sounds of those majestic bells are an echo of God's love, ringing out over the neighborhood to show outwardly and absolutely that God's love drowns out hate. And they are focusing this morning on 1 Corinthians 1 through 13, Paul's discourse on the power and the truth of love. Now, this reading is often chosen by unsuspecting couples for their marriage ceremonies. I say unsuspecting because, you know, people just getting married have absolutely no idea what's going to lie ahead, right? Paul's words are tender and poetic, and they make for a great wedding ceremony, but they're also subversive and radical. They call us to move far beyond that early blush of love, far beyond the first love a parent feels for her new baby, far beyond the love of friendship. This love is a description of God's love for us, overwhelming love of unending generosity, a covenant promise, expansive love without boundaries. It's a love that rejoices in the truth, that does not put up with evil, but does not ever push against evil with hatred. God's love is not easy. It is not weak. It faces evil with strong, compassionate power. The people of Grace Church inspire us to gather ourselves in community and insist on acting out of our best selves as those who have promised in the baptismal covenant to respect the dignity of all people. They are not ignoring the protests outside of their doors. They're standing firm together, reminding one another of the love that they try to live by, a love that can be only given by God to God's imperfect creation. We cannot change one single mind of somebody who disagrees with us by shouting at them and yelling and name-calling. We can only be with integrity who we are created to be, people of light, the Easter people who believe that God makes a way out of no way, people of love, people of redemption and grace. This love of God invites us to look past our outward selves and delve very deeply into our interior lives, to be people of reflection and courage. And along the way, there'll become plenty of opportunities for forgiveness, for humility, and for reconciliation. At Calvary, it is important to be overt, to be clear in our welcome of people. It is important for us to say that no matter who you are, no matter where you are in your journey, you are welcome here. No matter your political persuasion, your family of origin, or your country, no matter your race, you are welcome here. No matter what you think about God or the creeds, no matter your age, if you're the youngest, if you're an old, really cranky person, you are welcome here. If you are gay, lesbian, transgendered, you are welcome here. No matter the wounds you carry, you will find grace here, compassion, and joy. This is a safe place, where we ground and reground ourselves in our baptismal covenant, and where we will stand firm in God's gospel of love. Here we will do our best with God's help to show that indeed truth, that indeed faith, hope, and love abide, and the greatest of these is love. If we listen, maybe in our imaginations, we can hear those bells pealing out faith, hope and love from Grace Episcopal Church, from the Belfry at Calvary, from bells in tiny chapels, and from the greatest cathedrals. God's pure love pealing out over creation. Oh, and just a little P.S. We found out today that Will Gottmer, in his prelude, chose a piece called this is for the Latin scholars to listen up, especially there you are. You'll sing it for me?
Sure.
Okay. It's called the Toccata on Amor Satis Est, which really means
love is enough.
Love is enough, and it's based on the Beatles' classic, All You Need Is Love. All you need is love. So that's what Will Gottmer, is playing right now. Amen.